this time. It's now when we enter into the preaching of your word. We ask, Father, that your word will come alive in our hearts and minds, souls and spirit. We thank you, Father, that you've sent us your Ruach, your spirit, to teach us and to lead us into all truth and to give us discernment and that we may gain proper application of what your word says and how it changes us into your likeness and character of your Son. So, Father, we come humbly before you, and we ask, Father, that we'll return to the first love in our life, which is you, Almighty God. We just give you glory and honor and praise. In Yeshua's name, amen. Have you been enjoying the journey through the book of Acts as I have? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today we'll be in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. You know what's truly fascinating? In this chapter, we'll be looking at three different Jewish men. Each has a calling on their life, but to each is revealed where their hearts truly are. And there are times, you know, when we read in Scripture and we think, well, everything that is written in Scripture is from the Lord. Yes, it is. But there's also history. History of people that appeared to be believers, but truly were not. From the outside, they gave the appearance. They may have even been immersed in water, which is a sign of repentance. And then proclaiming allegiance to Yeshua as the Lord and King of their life. But as we read here in the book of Acts, what will be truly revealed? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 1. And Shaul gave his approval to his murder. And if we just started reading the book of Acts, right in chapter 8, verse 1, we would be wondering, well, whose murder? The murder of Stephen in the prior chapter. And it's amazing, in both chapter 7 and in chapter 8, Shaul's name is mentioned for the first times. And it's just mentioned. And then the scripture goes on. It's like the Spirit of the living God says, hear this name. There's yet more to come. Here's an individual that I'm allowing to be recorded so that you'll either to walk in their ways or not walk in their ways. As each and every one of us are being transformed by the power of the living God, it's not just a one-time occasion where we're introduced to the Messiah, and then the Spirit of living God comes upon us and brings about repentance, and then we get to the point where we acknowledge for Yeshua for what he's done and what he is to us, but it's an ongoing transformation. It's not praying a certain prayer or maybe going underneath the waters of immersion, but it's a continual relationship that we are to covenant with our God. And so going forward here, starting with that day, there arose intense persecution against the Messianic community in Jerusalem. But all the emissaries were scattered throughout the regions of Yehuda and Sharon. Some godly men buried Stephen and mourned him deeply. So think about that. When they took up Stephen's body, they were saying to the Jewish community that this was a righteous man. And they were literally going against the decree of the Sanhedrin in that they were marking themselves, these godly men. And it's beautiful that the scripture doesn't mention them by name. But just think about the honor that's awaiting them in heaven for taking their brother, who is a righteous Jew, who lived for God. And think about this. What was Stephen? Was he one of the apostles? No. He was a Shemesh, a servant, a deacon. And the Spirit of the living God had a calling on his life, and he fulfilled that calling in proclaiming the good news. And what had accompanied Stephen's life? God brought miracles. Not that Stephen would be built up in the eyes of the people and gather a group unto himself, but the kingdom of God would be proclaimed and established in the hearts and minds of the people that was undeniable to them. For God was doing a brand new thing. So going on in verse 8:3. But Shaul set out to destroy the Messianic community, entering house after house. Why was he going house to house? Because for a majority of the Messianic community, they would go to the temple and worship, but they were also having times of prayer and intercession and times of fellowship. House congregations were being established. And that's why Shaul had to go house to house to find them. He dragged them off, both men and women, and handed them over to be put in prison. However, those who were scattered announced the good news of the word wherever they went. See, God can even use persecution. And there are times in our lives where God stirs up our nest. Are you currently living in the same place that you've lived for 20 or more years? Have you lived in different locations? Maybe different states? Maybe even in different countries? The Lord orchestrates all these things. And sometimes God allows persecution in our lives so that the truth of the good news will not be just simply proclaimed by our lips, but others will see evidence of it being lived out. Going forward here. Now Philip. Now this Philip here is not one of the 12. If you were to turn to the book of Acts chapter 6, remember what happened? There were Greek-speaking Jews who brought before the 12 and said, well, our widows are being neglected in the giving out of food and other provisions. And so what happened was they took counsel together, the 12 apostles got together, the emissaries, and they intercede to gain the mind of the Lord. So the mind of the Lord instructed them to tell those elders of the Greek-speaking Jews to intercede and allow the Spirit of living God to help them choose 7 individuals. Who was the first? But Stephan. Who was the second? Philip. So now we're going to hear a little bit about Philip, another Shemesh, another deacon, who was found faithful, a man being full of the Spirit. And Philip went down to the city in Sharon and was proclaiming the Messiah to them, and the crowds were paying close attention to what Philip said. As they heard and saw the miraculous signs he was doing, for many people were having unclean spirits driven out of them, shrieking. Also, many paralytics and crippled persons were being healed, so that there was great joy in that city. Who orchestrated this? The Spirit of the living God. He took Philip out of his comfort zone and had him proclaim the good news. Notice this isn't one of the original 12. Isn't that beauty in this? Is that the Spirit of the living God wants to raise up people, wants to show them what the call is on their lives. He pours out his Spirit upon them, gives them wisdom, understanding, and discernment, and they simply step out by faith and build God's kingdom. That's been God's plan. He doesn't care what you look like, whether you're male, female, Greek, Jewish, of the nations. He's not impressed by your education. He simply wants you to make yourself available and to simply trust and believe. Going forward, 8:7, for many people were having unclean spirits driven out of them, shrieking. Also, many paralytics and crippled persons were being healed. 8:8, so that there was great joy in that city. But now we're introduced to another Jewish man. All right? I spoke incorrectly earlier. I said there were three. There are actually four. Shaul's just mentioned, but not much detail is given on him. Now we're introduced now to the third Jewish individual. But there was a man named Shimon. In some of your translations, it says Simon. In the city, whom for some time had been practicing magic. Some translations, he was a sorcerer, okay? And astonishing the nation of Sharon, which is Samaria, okay? Claiming to be someone great. Notice that. Did Philip claim to be someone who is great? Did Kepha or the rest of the 12 ever claim to be great? There was a time when they had discussion, who is the greatest in the kingdom? Was there not? But their hearts had been changed. So here's a Jewish man who's practicing sorcery and magic to gain a group unto himself and saying that he's great by this power that comes from another source. Going forward here. 8:10. Everyone gave heed to him. That means everyone was focused on him. From the lowest to the highest, saying, this man is the power of God, called the great power. Here's a conflict going on right now. God has sent his servant, Philip, into an area of people who have come underneath a delusion of another Jewish man who's using magic and sorcery to the point that they're proclaiming that this gift is from God and this great power is from God. What is God's great power? But the Ruach HaKodesh. When Yeshua started his earthly ministry, first he was immersed in water, and then the Spirit of the living God came upon him. And then he started to demonstrate the power of the living God. See, here we have a conflict of two different worlds. And what is Samaria full of? Both Jews and people of Jewish ancestry who are Samaritans. Because when Babylon would conquer, what would they do? They would bring people from other nations intermarried. All right? I'm not going to go into great detail now. This message will be in two parts. Let's move forward. Verse 8:11. They followed him. Who's the him? But Shimon or Simon. Because for a considerable time he had amazed them with his magic. I would dare to say today that there are people in the church body that are doing magical, powerful things and calling others unto themselves and building up their greatness in eyes of other people, and their source is not God, nor the power of the living God. You'll know this if you recognize they're building their ministry unto themselves. And Yeshua becomes yet a footnote in their ministry. because they want you to look to them. And the people are drawn. This has been going on since the book of Acts, even in the Tanakh. There was a sorcerer that was paid by a king to curse the nation of Israel. But let's move forward today. But when they came to believe Philip, as he announced the good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Yeshua the Messiah, they were immersed, both men and women. These are people of Jewish ancestry, the Samaritans, and there are Jews that are living in Samaria at this time too. Moreover, Shimon Simon came to believe, all right? He came to believe, okay? And after he saw the miraculous signs and the great works of power that kept taking place, he's seeing now the true God and a manifestation of the true great power of God, the Spirit of the living God being manifested. And he believes that this is of God. He recognizes it because he knows where the source of his power comes from. Going forward, when the emissaries in Jerusalem heard that Shalom had received the word of God, they sent Kepha and Yohanan, all right? These two emissaries were sent to bring validation because these two men, Kepha and Yohanan, had been with Yeshua for those 3 to 3.5 years. They knew the power of God, and they wanted to see and to observe and to validate this. Everything that was done was of God. And it's okay to have brothers and sisters in Messiah that look into our lives and speak into our lives. They help us to be what? Accountable. All right? So let's move forward here. Verse 8:15, who came down and prayed for the people, and they received the Ruach HaKodesh. All right? Philip did not lay hands upon them, but who laid hands upon them? Were the two emissaries, Kepha and Yohanan. Going forward here, that was ordained by God at this point. Going forward. For until he, and who's the he here? The Ruach HaKodesh had not come upon any of them. These are brand new believers just immersed in water. The orchestration of the Spirit of the Living God coming and dwelling in new believers is up to the Spirit of the Living God. You or I do not say when, or how, or why. It's all the Spirit of the living God. Going forward here. Then Kepha and Yohanan placed their hands on them, and they received the Ruach HaKodesh. Is that clear to us? All right? Did Philip not have the capability to do that? I believe he did. But so that those that were living Samaria would say this, that we receive from the ones that walk with Yeshua, that the Spirit of the living God orchestrated this way. There are many times we try to put the Ruach in a box, do we not? And he goes right around what we think. But know this, he will never invalidate the Word of God. Going forward here. I know I'm tiptoeing around a lot of issues there, but we must walk and go back to God's word. Going forward here, 8:18, Shimon Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the emissaries placed their hands on them, and then he offered them money. Now, did Kepha and Yohanan, did they say, now, Philip, You gather the offering baskets, and as we lay hands on these people, you collect the gold and the silver and all these other things. Absolutely not. Freely have you received, freely give. But this shows you the heart of Simon. We can begin to think about, he saw this literal power that came from God, and he wanted it. He was willing to pay for it for his own benefit and his own greatness. Going forward here, give this power to me, he said, so that whoever I place my hands on will receive the Ruach HaKodesh. Notice that. He's identifying. He sees where the power comes, and he knows that power by name. Okay? Going forward here. But Caiaphas said to him, and this is where the word of discernment comes. All right? Because some could say, well, I read in the prior verses there, Rabbi Frank, it says that he believed. Yes, he believed, he knew where the source came from. But was he a believer? We shall see. But Caiaphas said to him, your silver go to ruin, and you with it. Do you hear that? Caiaphas and Yohanan were not about gaining money, building their kingdom, and receiving payment for how God was ministering in and through them. That wasn't their focus. How many ministries today, if you listen to them on radio or on television, spend majority of their time asking for funds? Let's move forward. But Caiaphas said to him, your silver go to ruin, and you with it, for thinking the free gift of God can be bought. Is that clear to us now? Salvation is a free gift. The Ruach is a free gift. Salvation costs the Father and the Son. The Ruach gives the gifts of the Spirit. And there are multiple gifts of the Spirit. And every time when the gift of the Spirit is being manifest, it is to build the kingdom and manifest God's power, and not to elevate the person that is the vessel to which the Ruach is operating through. Going forward here, 8:21. You have no part at all in this matter, because in the eyes of God, your heart is crooked. More discernment. All right? Simon could not pull the wool over the eyes of these two men who are walking and listening to the Spirit of the living God. We are to operate and listen to the Spirit of the living God all the days of our lives, lest we be led astray. Going forward here. So this is what Caiaphas says. So repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord. Perhaps you will yet be forgiven for holding such a thought in your heart. See, Caiaphas was all about repentance, because he'd seen his own heart and the things that he spoke and the things that he'd done. And he knew that the Spirit of the living God. And look what Caiaphas is saying. He doesn't say, I rebuke you, now be gone. He says, now go and pray unto whom? But to the Lord. Who's the Lord but Yeshua? He's putting him on the right path, because he knows this. Simon has his own free will, and so do you and I. And if we're not willing to bring everything before the presence of the Lord, so the Spirit of the living God can examine it for us to see if it's pleasing in the Father's sight, if we're not willing to do that and do teshuva, do repentance, then we're building our own kingdom and we're going our own way. The opposite direction that the Spirit of Living God wants to lead us and where our shepherd Yeshua is leading us. Let's go forward here now. For I see that you are extremely bitter and completely under control of sin. That's a word of knowledge. That's a word of discernment. And why is it given? To put him down? No. So that his soul may be saved. He's a fellow Jew who needs to see and receive salvation because he's lost. These words are compassion, but they're strong words as they need be. Going forward here. Shimon answered, "Pray for me so that none of these things that you have spoken about me will happen." Now you think that may be from a genuine heart, but know this. This man has been what? He's been practicing sorcery and magic and casting curses and spells upon people. And notice his words there. You pray to the Lord. What was the Spirit of Living God speaking through Cephas saying? Shimon, Simon, you pray to the Lord. Fruits of repentance. And that's why you have to have discernment. And God will give you discernment when you're witnessing to others and they're receiving what God is sharing in and through you by the power of the Spirit of Living God. And maybe they'll come to one increment of praying a prayer or going through water immersion. But are they truly being transformed and sanctified? Which is not a one-time event, but an ongoing life, living out process. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm to stop right now. Brother Tim, will you come and close our service? Praise be to God.